Blog Talk Radio.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day.
With you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over.
Hello out there in podcast land. Welcome to a Hodge to Hodge podcast. This is the Messenger Edition. This is Nurse Carmen, and we have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. And as we listen to the song, it's so true, you feel better when you smile. It's a blessing to be able to smile. Now we'll have a conversation with the messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening and welcome once
again.
Good
evening.
Welcome to another half an hour of a conversation with God. I just want to say, for those that happen to tune in later on or whatever, I want you to know that you will hear a lot of stuff over and over again. And the reason you need to hear it over and over again is because it's what we've been taught for so long have been taught to us over and over again that it sinks in. And so we have to, as the brother Paul said, we have to renew our minds. So what we have to do is repeat it repetitiously, say things over and over again so that they begin to stick, so that you can begin to feel it and know it for what it is. The same way, some people have been told a lot of things over and over again, and even though they know it not to be true, because they've heard it over and over again, they believe it to be. But I want to start off by letting us know, as I've said so many times throughout our conversations, that we are creative beings made in the image and likeness of God. And you may have whatever you choose, but you may not have anything you want, in fact. You'll never get anything you want if you want it bad enough. And it's because you say that the act of wanting a thing pushes it away from you. And the reason why is because thoughts are creative. And the thought of wanting a thing is a statement to the universe, a declaration of truth, which the universe then produces in your reality. You know, that's how it works. The moment you say, I want something, the universe says, indeed you do, and give you that precise experience, the experience of wanting it. Whatever you put after the word I becomes your creative command, the genie in the bottle, which God is, but to obey. God has no choice but to obey, because we have to understand, as I stated, we are creative beings made in the image and likeness of God. So if we are creative beings, when we begin to create, it is God's job, which is actually you, to do. You would not say to do something that you're not going to do. And I say it to that extent to understand, so that we can better understand once again that you and God are one. So when you say something, what you're doing is actually putting the universe in motion to do what it is that you say. And so when you say, I want something, what we have to understand is, and you say, I want something, and then it doesn't come. But what you have to understand is, it is coming. It is, as a matter of fact, there already, because you want, and it gives you that wanting feeling, because technically that's what you ask for. I want a thing. And so it gives you that wanting experience. God produces what you call forth. You call forth precisely what you think, feel, and say. It's as simple as that. Then you may say, so tell me again, why does it take so many times for any of us to create the reality that we choose? And it's for a number of reasons. Because, first of all, you do not believe you can have what you choose. Because you do not know what to choose. Because you keep trying to figure out what's best for you. Because you want guarantees ahead of time that all your choices will be good. And because you keep changing your mind. And best, and you want what's best for you, but best is a relative term, depending on 100 variables that make choices very difficult. There should be only one consideration when making any decision. Is this a statement of who I am? Is this an announcement of who I choose to be? All of life should be such an announcement. In fact, all of life is. You can allow that announcement to be made by chance or by choice. A life lived by choice is a life of conscious actions. A life lived by chance is a life of unconscious reactions. Reactions is just that, an action you have taken before. When you react, what you do is assess the incoming data, search your memory bank for the same or nearly the same experience, and act the way you did before. This is all the work of the mind, not your soul. Your soul would have you search its memory to see how you might create a truly genuine experience of you in the now moment. This is the experience of soul searching, of which you have so often heard, but you have to be literally out of your minds to do it. When you spend your time trying to figure out what's best for you, you are doing just that, spending your time. Better to save your time than to spend it wastefully. It's a great time saver to be out of your mind. Decisions are reached quickly. Choices are activated rapidly because your soul creates out of present experience only, without review, analysis, and criticisms of past encounters. Remember this. The soul creates. The mind reacts. The soul knows in its wisdom that the experience you are having in the moment is an experience sent to you by God before you had any conscious awareness of it. This is what is meant by a preset experience. It's always on the way to you. It's already on the way to you, even as you are seeking it. For even before you ask, God shall have answered you. Now, every moment is a glorious gift from God. That's why it's called the present. The soul intuitively seeks the perfect circumstances and situations now needed to heal wrong thoughts and bring you the right experience of who you really are. It is the soul's desire to bring you back to God, to bring you home to God. It is the soul's intention to know itself exponentially, and thus to know God. For the soul understands that you and God are one. Even as the mind denies this truth and the body acts out this denial, therefore, in a moment of great decision, be out of your mind and do some soul searching instead. The soul understands what the mind cannot conceive. If you spend your time trying to figure out what's best for you, your choices will be cautious, your decisions will take forever, and your journey will be launched on a sea of expectation. If you are not careful, you will drown in your expectations. But then you say, how do I listen to my soul? How do I know what I'm hearing? The soul speaks to you in feelings. Listen to your feelings. Follow your feelings. Honor your feelings. So why does it seem to you that honoring your feelings is precisely what has caused you to get in trouble in the first place? Because you have labeled growth trouble and standing still safe. I tell you this, your feelings will never get you into trouble because your feelings are your truth. If you want to live a life where you never follow your feelings, but where every feeling is filtered through the machinery of your mind, go right ahead. Make your decisions based on your mind's analysis of the situation. But don't look for joy in such machinery, nor celebration of who you truly are. Remember this, true celebration is mindless. If you listen to your soul, you will know what is best for you, because what is best for you is what is true for you. When you act only of what is true for you, you speed your way down the path. When you create an experience based on your now truth rather than react to an experience on a past truth, you produce a new you. So why does it take so many times to create the reality you choose? This is why. Because you have not been living your truth. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Yet once you come to know the truth, don't keep changing your mind about it. This is your mind trying to figure out what's best. Stop it. Get out of your mind. Get back to your senses. This is what is meant by getting back to your senses. It is a return to how you feel, not how you think. Your thoughts are just that, thoughts, mental constructions, made up, creations of your mind. But your feelings, now they are real. Feelings are the language of the soul, and your soul is your truth. There now does that. Now, does that tie it all together a little bit for you? Does that kind of give you a direction in which for you to begin to start to see things different? Because as I stated first, you have to understand, believe, and know that you are creative beings made in the image and likeness of God. So when we start to believe and understand who we are, then we can start to walk in our truth. Then we can start to allow the soul to lead us. Now, I say the soul, but we have to understand in different religions, one that I'm really familiar with is Baptist. And they say, let the spirit lead you. And what we have to understand is the spirit is your soul. And because we've been indoctrinated with so many different types of religion, when the spirit is speaking to us, we have a tendency to call it anything else but that. Why? Because it differs from what it is that man has told you. And just for an example, there have been times that there was something inside of you that told you, don't do this or don't do that. Sometimes you listen, sometimes you don't. How many times can we say, I knew I should have listened to myself? But we didn't listen to ourselves because we allowed our mind to receive the data and we started to analyze it. And the mind, as I've said so many times, only have the number of years that you've been here to collect data. The soul, which has been here since the beginning. In the beginning, it was nothing but the soul, which is God. Remember this. Feelings are neither negative or destructive. They are simply truths. How you express your truth is what matters. When you express your truth with love, negative and damaging results rarely occur. And when they do, it is usually because someone else has chosen to experience your truth in a negative or damaging way. In such a case, there is probably nothing you can do to avoid the outcome. Certainly, failing to express your truth would hardly be appropriate, yet people do this all the time. So afraid are they to cause or to face possible unpleasantness that they hide their truth altogether. Remember this, it is not nearly so important how well a message is received as how well it is sent. You cannot take responsibility of how well another accepts your truth. You can only ensure how well it is communicated. And by how well, I don't merely mean how clearly. I mean how lovingly, how compassionately, mm-hmm. how sensitively, how courageously, and how completely. This leaves no room for half-truth, the brutal truth, or even the plain truth. It does mean the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
It's the so help you God part that brings in the God qualities of love and compassion. For God will keep your communication in this way always if you ask him. So yes, express what you call your most negative feelings, but not destructively. Failure to express, push out, negative feelings does not make them go away. It keeps them in. Negativity keeps in, harms the body, and burdens the soul. But you say, but if another person heard my negative thoughts they would have about a person, it would have to affect the relationship, no matter how loving those thoughts were delivered. But I say to express, push out, get rid of your negative feelings. I did not say how or to whom. All negativity needs not be shared with the person about whom it is felt. It is only necessary to communicate these feelings to the other when failure to do so would compromise your integrity or cause another to believe an untruth. Negativity is neither a sign of ultimate truth, even if it seems like your truth at the moment. It may arise out of your unhealed part of you. In fact, it always does. That is why it is so important to get those negativities out, to release them. Only by letting go of them, putting them out there, placing them in front of you, can you see them clearly enough to know whether you really believe them. You have all said things, ugly things, only to discover that once having been said, they no longer feel true. You have all expressed feelings for fear, to anger, to rage, only to discover that once having been expressed, they no longer reveal how you really feel. In this way, feelings can be tricky. Feelings are the language of the soul, but you must make sure you are listening to your true feelings and not some counterfeit model constructed in your mind. So you say, oh, wow, I can't even trust my feelings. I thought that was the way to truth. I thought that was what I'm saying here. It is. I am. But listen, because it is more complex than you now understand, some feelings are true feelings. That is, feelings born in the soul. And some feelings are counterfeit feelings. These are constructed in your mind. In other words, they are not feelings at all. They are thoughts. Thoughts masquerading as feelings. These thoughts are based on your previous experience, on the observed experience of others. You see someone grimace when and having a tooth pull. You grimace when having your tooth pull. It may not even hurt, but you grimace anyway. Your reaction has nothing to do with reality, only how you perceive reality, based on the experience of others or on something that happened to you in the past. The greatest challenge as human beings is to be here now, to stop making things up, stop creating thoughts about a preset moment, a moment you sent yourself before you had a thought about it. Be in the moment. Remember, you sent yourself that moment as a gift. The moment contains the seed of a tremendous truth. It is a truth you wish to remember. Yet when the moment arrives, you immediately begin constructing thoughts about it. Instead of being in the moment, you stood outside the moment and judged it. Then you reacted. That is, you acted as you did once before. Now look at these two words, reactive and creative. Notice that the same word, only the C has been removed. When you see things correctly, you become creative rather than reactive. And for those that are listening or tuning later on, reactive is spelled R-E-A-C-T-I-V-E. Creative is spelled C-R-E-A-T-I-V-E. Only the C has been removed. So when you see things correctly, you become creative rather than reactive. But you see, the point I'm trying to make is that when you come to each moment cleanly, without a previous thought about it, you can create who you are rather than react who you once were. Life is a process of creation, and you keep living it as if you were a process of reactment. Now, it may be normal, but it's not natural. Normal means something usually done. Naturally is how you are when you're not trying to be normal. Natural and normal are not the same thing. In any given moment, you can do what you normally do, or you can do what comes naturally. I tell you this, nothing is more natural than love. If you act lovingly, you will be acting naturally. If you react fearfully, resentful, angry, you may be acting normal, but you will never be acting naturally. And then you say, well, how can I act with love when all my previous experience is screaming at me that a particular moment is likely to be painful? I say, ignore your previous experience and go into the moment. Be here now. See what there is to work with right now in creating yourself anew. Remember this, what you are doing here. This is what you're doing here, creating yourself anew. You have come to this world in this way, at this time, in this place, to know who you are and to create who you wish to be. This is the process all of life. I'm sorry, this is the purpose of all of life. Life is an ongoing, never-ending process of recreation. You keep recreating yourself in the image of your next highest idea about yourself. So, as we begin to wind down this, I just want us to understand the abilities that we have, who we are, and the things in which we can achieve when we begin to understand who we really are. Now, for my first-time listeners or those that are just tuning in, please don't think that it's so far outside of the realm when I say that you are a part of God. If you read your scriptures, it says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So when I look at fullness, that leads me to believe that it's part of all. The fullness, the cup that's full, it's full. Everything in it, that makes it full. And that same thing applies to you. But we've been told for so long that we are bad people and we've got to do this. We have to understand that it's not about anybody else but yourself. You are here to be the best you that you can be. But you cannot be the best you that you can be if you fail to listen to the God within you, which is your soul. And your soul is speaking to you daily. It's just a question, will you take the time to listen? We all may not realize it, but it was something within you that told you to tune in, to connect to this podcast. And I hope, I know that something was said here that is going to allow your soul to rejoice. There is something on the inside that it says, try the Spirit by the Spirit. And so the Spirit of God is speaking right now, trying to let us know who we are. And what we need to do is take time out of our busy day and meditate, relax the mind, and listen. It's hard for a lot of us just to be quiet, but be quiet and listen to yourself. Yourself will speak to you. And if you want to know if it's the soul or the mind, just remember the soul is always going to tell you what is going to help you be the best you that you can be. And you being the best you will not hurt anyone else, because it's not about anyone else. It's about you. So if you sit down in your soul and you say something told you, oh, to cuss somebody out or to do this, that's not your soul. The soul is love. If you're sitting down there contemplating whether you want to be mad at the kids, the soul will tell you differently. That's not to say that you can't discipline them, but the soul will lead you in the most loving way to be the best you that you can be. I thank you all for listening in. At this time, I'm going to turn the remaining part into the hands of my co-producer as he have his final words and take us out of here.
Amen.
Where my co-producer at?
Oh, I'm on. I'm sorry, I had my microphone down. Wow. I was doing a very interesting monologue. But anyway, I'm sorry. I'm just talking myself away, and I hear my brother say, where's my co-producer? My listener. Okay, we charge that one to the game. But every Thursday night, every Sunday night, we enjoy hearing our very own messenger, Rondaya, as
yes,
he continually
indeed.
Tells us, again, that what you are searching for, you already have. And when you understand that you have it, then you can begin to enjoy it as opposed to keep looking for what you already have. So I do thank you for listening to the podcast. And again, this is a podcast of love. There's no anti-anything on this podcast. This podcast just gets you in touch with the creator that's going to help you live your best life. Good night,
amen,
to the podcast audience. And we'll talk to
good
you
night,
on
everyone.
Sunday night, 9 o'clock. Good night.
Good night, everyone.